Full Body Fitness Studio, supporting Crittenden County Rockets. Full Body Fitness is located in Marion, Kentucky, a full-service fitness facility serving Crittenden County since 2007.
Pink Out. Crittenden County will host Ballard Memorial on Friday night for the annual Pink Out game. The Bombers roll in here with a 3-3 record. Not a bad football team. They've lost to Marshall County, Dresden, Tennessee, and Casey County, all three pretty good teams. But their victories are not what we would consider quality wins. They've beaten Fulton City, Hart County, and Webster County. Of course, two of those teams, Fulton City and Webster, are among Crittenden County's wins this season. Coach Starnes, this Ballard team, we've lost to them 4 years in a row, which is very, very uncommon. But this is a pretty good football team.
Yeah, and they have a great group of seniors. They have some kids that can run. Three or four kids that can actually run the ball very well. Kid named Williams and Collier and Bledsoe. And they also have a fullback that's a fire plug that's a junior. It's Bryson Haynes. And does a great job. So, and then I have a sophomore quarterback, Marinelli or something like that, that does a great job and is able to distribute the ball and throws the ball very well. So, you know, they utilize their talent very well. And so it's going to be difficult for us, but we have to play a mistake-free ball game, and we can't turn the ball over like we have been. We have to play very sound in all three phases of the game and in order for us to have a chance. But make no mistake, they're a good football team with great talent.
This quarterback, Marinelli, has thrown for over 1,000 yards already this season. And then their running back, the Bledsoe's boy is the one I remember, and he's rushed for 270 yards. But Williams, Jamarian Williams, has 505. So
yeah, and he's a receiver. He's a slot receiver, and they put him in motion. They utilize their talent. They get him in space, and has outstanding speed, and that's what concerns me. It's the same old story that we've said since I guess day one here at Crittenden County in '91 is that teams that have speed are they concern us. They give us fits. So we have to try to contain them and keep them boxed in. And more importantly, we can't miss tackles. When you miss a tackle, then you give them open field there. And when they get that open field, we can't catch them.
The way I gave you the receiving yards a minute ago, actually Devin Bledsoe's leading rusher at 258. But, yeah, and that's always been a problem of ours. It seems like when teams get into, especially obviously teams with speed, get into our second level, we have a hard time tracking them down. What do? Do you work on angles and such?
First of all, we have to understand we're a gap-controlled defense, so every gap is supposed to be controlled by somebody. And if we don't fill our gap and play our responsibility, then you open up a hole for them. And that's youth and inexperience that we have to make sure that we continue to focus on. If we play an A gap and we cross over to the B gap, then we free up the A gap and there's nobody assigned to that gap, and that's what we're talking about. So when you play, and most teams are that way, gap control, and if you're not a gap control and we don't control our gaps, then we're going to open it up, and that's the problem that we have. And then we're in a scramble mode at that point. So we have to understand it. Our concern is that we're going to have a couple other guys in there than what we're used to seeing because Brady Burke, he had surgery on his thumb yesterday, and, you know, he tore a ligament away from his bone, and they had to attach it back together, and he wanted to play with a cast on, but doctor said, recommended him he not to, and that he would be out for about 4 or 5 weeks. So possibility of him coming back for the playoffs, but
a little detail on Brady, he injured this. He played with this injury last week at
played
Fulton
with
City.
It last week.
He injured actually at practice.
Yeah, injured
the
at
week
practice.
Before.
Yeah. Correct. And I taped it up for him Friday at Fulton City, and it just shows how tough he is. Mm-hmm. And he did go to the doctor and saw that he did rip that ligament from the bone. So He's great. He wanted to come back, mm-hmm. but you know, it is what it is, and that's what I told him. He's very disappointed, as all of our other three starters are out for injury. And, mm-hmm. You know, and I just found out that that Paxton Riley's having some infection in there. He's going to have to go back in and have another surgery done to correct that. So, you know, our prayers go out for him, and that's what happens. But, you know, we hate it for all the kids, and, you know, we have to understand that injury is part of it. When it happens, we have to be there for them the best that we can.
And Brady Burke, just, I thought the last couple of games, in fact, I made a point to go by and slap him on the rear Friday night before the Fulton game, said, keep playing hard. You know, last couple of weeks, you've really been, really caught my eye. And it's just a shame. And he's, to remind our listeners, he was a transfer from Trigg County who came over, and this is his first year to play.
But yeah, and having fun. I mean, yeah. You know, enjoying it and stuff. So, you know, but we've had some sickness as well. Christian White is the one that would have been in there for Brady Burke, but he's apparently been sick and missed practice for the last couple of days. And, you know, and again, so we have a rule that if you miss practice, you don't start. You don't depends on what it is. You know, you won't be able to start. And so, you know, we had that with another one of our guards. So Drake Kemper is going to start at the other guard, and Sean O'Leary is going to start in place of Brady Burke. So, you know, it's
two new guys on the field offensively. Yeah, and O'Leary plays on defense. He starts on defense. But, yeah. But Drake will be his first start of the season.
Yeah, it'll be his first start. So, you know, hopefully he'll get a taste of it and understand it. But, you know, that's what we're dealing with. It's been one of those years, make no mistake, that we're having fun coaching. it has been a great year. It's been a fun year. But it's been a year full of frustration as far as injuries and replacements and things like that. So, but again, it is what it is. We can't control it, and we move forward.
I want to look back to last week on something that I don't think we talked about on Monday, but was Will Perkins. Unfortunately, his record of 33 straight point after attempts, successful PATs, came to an end at 33. His 34th was actually blocked, I think, by our long snapper who had gotten. I don't know if he got blocked back into the kick or whether I think the kid tried to jump him. To explain a little it's a shame that it ended like that. He just didn't miss it.
Well, it's a shame because it was actually an illegal play that happened, mm-hmm. and shouldn't have taken place. You can't hurdle your center or anybody on the line to jump over somebody, and that's what hurdling is. And that's what he did. He jumped over our center and blocked the extra point. Which, you know, I talked to the officials that were there, and the head official didn't realize that kid had blocked it, and I think that's why he let it go. But, you know, it's a rule that you can't do, and it's unfortunate, but there's nothing we can do about it. You know, you just have to move forward and, you know, understand the frustration and understand had that not have happened. You know, he could have made it. We don't know that he made it, but there's nothing that can be done right now.
So on film, it showed that the kid got a hand on the ball.
He blocked it.
Did he? Yeah, he blocked it. I saw it live. It looked like it hit DK's back.
No. It the guy jumped over our center, which is Cody Bell, who's not as big. So he jumped right over Cody and blocked it. So,
but DK was in the game.
DK, he plays guard. Yeah, right. And so you know, and the reason why you can't jump over them because they're protected. You can't hit them, so you know you can't jump over them. So they don't necessarily get up as quickly as the other guys get up. So they're protected, and it's just a rule that you can't do. And it, you know, it's unfortunate, but you know, again, I mean, you know, you have to go on. Life goes on. Life's unfortunate sometimes, and we can't control it. What we can control is what happens from this point forward and what we do. So I hate it for Will because he was on a streak, but you know, again, I mean, those things happen, and you can't dwell on it.
This week against Ballard anything, do we do anything different offensively going into this game? Hunter's coming off what I thought was his probably his most certainly most accurate game of the week, and obviously he was selected as the WPSD Player of the Week this week, and so I think that was rightful and deserving on his part. But is there anything, you looking at anything different for Ballard? It being a non-district game, do you not show as much?
No, Chris. I mean, everything that we do is all geared toward our district play. So, you know, what we do now are things that we're going to work on and try to do better when we play Fulton County the next week. So it's just another game for us to work on some things and to fine-tune the things that we have, and for the kids to understand that you know, you do your job, and that's what we have to focus on, and we keep saying that, and that's what we have to do. But make no mistake, I mean, we want to win. We want to beat them, just like every team that lines up and plays on any type of competition, you want to win. But our focus is very simple. It's district play, because that's what matters. And you know, Fulton County is going to be another district game that we have to win, and we have to get through with them in order to get to Russellville. You know, it is pink out. You know, that is something that we do, and it shows in the kids that, you know, there's more to life than just the competition that we play, and get them to understand that what we're doing is a game, and we can play that. Some things in life you can't play, and you have to deal with. So we're going to recognize breast cancer awareness, and we're going to wear our pink jerseys and honor the survivors and recognize them. So there'll be a table set up so breast cancer survivors can sign their name and be recognized at halftime, or somebody that you know that didn't make it, you can put their name down and we'll recognize them as well. And so, you know, we just want to do our part and what we can to battle and fight this disease that has affected probably every family that's in existence. So, you know, come out and support us.
This is, of course, a non-district game, but it is a game. Sometimes it's a measuring stick. I think for Ballard, it's a measuring stick. There are upper level teams, there are lower level teams, and there's some of us in the middle somewhere. And you know, I think for years that this, you know, Crittenden dominated Ballard. For them to, this is a big game for them. They feel like they can win this game, then they belong in this somewhere in the upper middle class, I guess you might say.
Yeah, and that's an honor to our program. Mm-hmm. And so you know, I think what their theme is this year, Ballard's theme was strive for five, which means that is five straight years of not having a losing season. And that's big for Ballard. I mean, I can remember many, many years ago Ballard being a team that, you know, that everybody picked for homecoming, and they were one of the worst teams in Western Kentucky, and if not the state. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the coaches have done a good job there with them in building that program. And, you know, John Elliott has done a great job continuing that and building the program, and has kids playing hard and has talent. And that's what I look at. And it's just not those three or four kids that can run. I mean, it's the mentality of their program and mm-hmm. what they feel like they can do, and I think that he's done a good job with that.
And we've seen the past 4 or 5 years they have improved. And more of a blue-collar approach, I guess you might say. You know, they're kind of like we are. They're a rural school, and a lot of big country boys that are.
Yeah, and they're solid, and they work hard. And, you know, I watch them on the track, and they're good track athletes. Yeah. And so, you know, they just work hard and believe, and I think that's the key. You know, when you get a group of individuals to believe that they can win, then you've got something, and you got some talent to mix in with that. You know, so that's the whole key. He had to come in and basically change a culture of it.
Sure.
And so he's done a good job with
you as a coach are 16-7 against Ballard. And if you take away these last 4 years, that's 16-3. So up to the last few years, we had really dominated in your career here, and even before that, it was the same. Want to talk a little bit about some of these guys that are, you know, we've lost some receivers this year. Of course, Ethan Hunt has been our go-to guy, and Ethan's two two games away from tying the school record for receptions in a game. He needs he has 20 straight games. He's caught a pass in, and two more he ties TK Guest. But you know, probably as important as Ethan is the fact that Mason Myers and Brandon Lamy, just week after week, I think are getting better catching balls and making plays after the catch.
Yeah, and I think you know, I think Mason had a breakout night Friday night. I think that mentality. He said that in his mind that he was going to be the one to do what we needed to do because it was a district ball game, and I think he had a stellar game. I think. You know, he finally showed the Mason Myers that we thought that he could. Not that he's been bad, but that he just had the game that we felt like that he could have had and should be having. And so hopefully that will continue this week. Ethan Hunt is just steady, and I talked to TK Saturday, and you know, TK's worried about that record, but I can tell you what, it will be broken, and Ethan will break that record because he's worked hard, and even if we just have to throw him a little pop pass out there, well, he'll get it. He's going to break that record, so he deserves it. I mean, he's really worked hard for it, but you know, and I think that Brandon Lamy, you know, we said all along from the very beginning that with him is confidence, and I think he's gaining confidence more and more as he goes. And I think that shows in some of the catches that he's made. And when he gets the ball in his hands, I mean, he is a threat. And so we need to continue that. You know, and I think that Ben Brown is one that is trying. He's gaining confidence in practice. He made some unbelievable catches in practice this week, and it just when he gets out there, I think because of the lack of experience that he's had and he hadn't played in a while, he just wants to do it so bad. I think that it works in reverse for him.
And get him a little short pass one time. And get him on in his hands.
You know, we're trying, and that's what we need to do. So you know, he I think he's very capable, and he wants to, and. You know, he just has to be able to get out there. And Jared Lundy is one that I think also needs confidence. You know, he's a great blocker. Mm-hmm. Jared is, you know, and he's very tall. And so, you know, he has to get confidence in what he can do as far as the ability to catch a football because he can catch. And so, you know, and all these guys, I mean, we just have to understand that you know, we're going to have to be able to throw the ball in order to win ball games, and just as we're going to have to be able to run the ball, mm-hmm. because it takes both parts of it in order to win ball games.
Speaking of running the ball, last week was our first 100-yard rusher of the season, Devin Nesbitt, as we've talked about the last couple of weeks, really just improving week after week and becoming growing up as a sophomore and running hard and looking really good.
You know, and the good thing is, Chris, that I think all these sophomores are growing up.
They really
are. That's what we see, and you know, that's what you see throughout the course of the year. And when we say that, you know, the kids have to grow up on the run, that's what we're seeing before our eyes. Because you know, from where we were to where we are now, the majority of these sophomores have grown up, and even the inexperienced kids that have been out there, the older ones, the juniors and the seniors that haven't played that much. I mean, they're growing up and they're maturing. But you know, your younger kids, what you do is you see the mistakes and you see the timidness, but then you see them actually grow. And I think Devin is a great point to see that you know, right before your eyes, he goes from, you know, not that he didn't run the ball before, but he was running with a little bit of timidness in his legs and his
now
feet.
Now he's going.
Now he's going, and his attitude's different, and he wants the ball, and so that's what makes you different. And so the good part about that is you have those kids for two more years. Mm-hmm.
What about at linebacker? Of course, you still could get a lot of consistency out of Dylan Smith and Gavin Dickerson and of course Mason and Ethan play those.
They're hybrid linebackers. Type, yeah, and those linebackers are solid, and they're going to have to be now because you know, you can't take a false step on these guys because they're going to be gone past you in a heartbeat. And what has to happen is they're going to have to scrape to their gap and control their gap. And if they don't, then they're going to be biased. So you know, we're just going to have to continue to do a good job and even get better and work on it for the next couple ball games. Because, I mean, you know, the last two ball games are what counts because – That's the last two district ball games that until the playoffs. And then once the playoffs, it's a different season. So, you know, that's what our focus is, Chris. I mean, yeah, we want to win this game, but we want, and we tell the kids every day, do your job and do it aggressively. And that's what we have to work on. We're still getting better. You know, we're still just like, you know, Adam Wright is continuing to get better at defensive tackle, and his technique, you know, it finally clicked to him, you know, that, you know, defense, you can use your hands and shed and get to the play. And, you know, he did it this week in practice, and hopefully he'll continue to do it in a game, because I think you're more effective, and they have to understand that that can happen.
I want to remind everybody to vote for your 60-year anniversary Rocket football team. This is the 60th year of Rocket football, and Andy Hunt has put together a list of nominees for this this just a fan-selected team, nothing other than that. Just it's something, nice conversation piece, and creates a lot of discussion among Rocket football fans. So go online there on the Crittenden Rocket website on the blog and vote. The banner crossed up is it's really it's fun. I think last time Andy checked was 400 and some odd votes already. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, we're going to do it until the end of the season, and probably announce it the week of the playoffs.
All right, that'd be good.
All right, Coach Starnes, Ballard Memorial comes in on Friday night. Ballard's a team we've played 38 times in the past, and they've beaten us the last four. Let's turn it around.
All right, we need to. I appreciate it.
Don't forget, Full Body Fitness, Fit for the Holidays, begins October 18th.